The Sundance Film Festival is underway in Park City, Utah. The search is on for the next Steven Soderbergh, whose low-budget Sex, Lies, and Videotape premiered there in 1989 and put the festival on the map. There's talk of new movies and just as much talk of buying new movies. But those buyers are no longer small entrepreneurs. They're divisions of major corporations. David Darcy reports.
Sundance is as much a film market as ever. Many new features are here without commercial distribution, and filmmakers try to make sure that no one sees their finished movies before a public Sundance screening. That means distributors like Bingham Ray, president of United Artists, have to be there.
If you're in the distribution business and you're not there, it's likely that you will miss an opportunity to acquire what could become the most significant independent film of the year.
Ray isn't here this year to buy just any quirky and appealing independent film. He used to be the head of October Films, which acquired everything it distributed at festivals like Sundance. Now he heads a company owned by MGM, which produces most of its movies. This week, if Ray buys a film, he'll be competing with companies like Miramax, a division of Disney, or Fine Line Features, a division of AOL Time Warner. Mark Ordesky, Fine Line's president, maintains his job is the same as it was before the mergers of the last 10 years.
I mean, there's obviously the nuts and bolts, acquiring, financing, distributing movies. But underscoring all of that, it's really about the finding and nurturing of talent.
But the marketplace has changed, says Mark Gill, West Coast president of Miramax Films.
Clearly, sitting in Hollywood, what I see is that the studios have abandoned so much of what they used to do. They used to make One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. They were going to make The English Patient, and they abandoned it. They were going to make Good Will Hunting, and they abandoned it. So we have stepped in at the higher end of the independent business, what is now the independent business, which is the lower end of the studio business they've abandoned. That said, it's really easy to say, oh, Miramax is only making big movies. Oddly enough, we're trying to do everything from the $50,000 acquisition of an Iranian film up to a more than $30 million movie like, Kate and Leopold or The Shipping News.
For these companies, the media attention around Sundance makes it a place to launch movies that they've made or already bought. Miramax brought four films to the festival, including one with Nicole Kidman and a documentary about Russell Crowe's rock band. So far, Miramax has already bought two films here. Fine Line has brought three movies here and probably won't buy that many. And in the changed buyer's market, Mark Ordesky says the notion of pure independent film is out of date.
I don't even use the term independent film anymore when I can avoid it. I usually will say things like specialized film or upscale commercial film, because independent film, I mean, Lord of the Rings is an independent film. If you define independent as springing from a comprehensive vision of a filmmaker sort of undiluted by a studio's kind of assemble a film mentality, then many, many studio films are also independent films. And if you try to define it as a financing definition, that gets even murkier.
The days are over when a filmmaker could meet his budget by maxing out his and his parents' credit cards. The companies buying films here are now also financing and making them. United Artists premiered Pumpkin, about a sorority sister who abandons her athlete boyfriend for a mentally disabled teenager in a wheelchair.
With a little love, you could really flourish. No, no, no. Pumpkin, I have a boyfriend. You have to understand that.
Producing a specialized film can now run up to $10 million, and the costs of releasing a film are now so high that Mark Ordesky's company, Fine Line, won't buy one unless it can identify the film's audience. He says that only a small segment of the population of filmgoers sets out to see an independent film.
The audience doesn't make fine distinctions like that. So you've got a market that's infinitely more crowded than it was. Screens, the number of quality screens being fought over, you know, get smaller and smaller, and you have less time to get traction in the marketplace. So what's essentially happening is you can't afford to take the same risks that you could before in terms of letting an audience find its way to a film. You have to be reasonably confident you can get an audience into a film, if not instantly, certainly quickly, so that you can hold your screens and have a film, allow a film to have a good long run.
And keeping a film in the market costs money for marketing, publicity, and television ads, the kind of money that small companies tend not to have, says Bingham Ray of United Artists.
These departments and the infrastructure required are expensive in today's world, in the distribution world of today, as opposed to the more seat-of-the-pants, fly-by-night kind of past that we've had, which for me was a lot more fun and a lot more, you know, the risks, you know, the live and die every day aspect of that was great. I loved it and still love it.
The race for those movies is now more refined than it was 10 years ago, Ray says, when he and his colleagues were up all night in Park City chasing $50,000 movies. Now more highly capitalized companies like United Artists will try to buy and distribute fewer and more commercial small films. Smaller companies are in Park City this week doing what Ray used to do. For their movies to last in theaters, if they ever get there, they need great reviews and great opening weekends. If any part of that equation isn't there, the public will see those films down the line in video stores, but probably not on screens. Jeff Gilmore, co-director of the Sundance Film Festival, says that's not as bleak as it sounds given the success of movies like Memento or L.I.E., which were distributed by those smaller companies. Gilmore says he's not concerned that what used to be called independent film is being made and marketed under corporate umbrellas because he sees so much other production going on out there.
I'm very much not cynical about where the independent world is headed. In fact, quite the opposite. I think I'm more cynical about the failures of some of the bigger budget independent productions and the indie studio production, which has failed, than I'm more worried about the kind of independent production which is fueled by the kind of personal creativity and that ability to bring together resources that independents have always had to rely on.
Even as other sectors of the economy have been weakened, the film box office rose after September 11th, and investment money to make films at relatively low budgets is still there. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in Park City, Utah.